Hi, everybody. John Telich here, and thank you so very much for checking out Telich Talks. Our guest this week is Cameron Joyce, the head basketball coach at the state champion St. Ignatius Wildcats. He won the title this year in just his fifth season as the head coach of the basketball team. Two previous times, he sent St. Ignatius down to the Final Four, although those two times they were unsuccessful this year. They were climbing ladders and cutting down the nets. He played basketball at Akron St. Vincent St. Mary for the legendary coach Drew Joyce II. That's his father. He is the younger brother of Drew Joyce, who, by the way, in recent times was named as the head coach at Duquesne University. Huge congratulations to Drew for that appointment. An extensive background in coaching and behind-the-scenes stuff at various basketball programs throughout America, Northwood University, the University of Florida, Ohio U, Tiffin, and so on. Our interview will come up to you in just a second, but first, if you like the pod, subscribe, rate, and or review to help grow it via those wonderful algorithms you hear about. And you can check out a recent interview I had with Tom Withers of the Associated Press here in Cleveland, who has stories about dealing with some of the iconic figures in the world of sports. No one is as iconic as the great LeBron James, who was playing on those basketball teams at Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary with Drew Joyce and those other guys in those very successful championship teams. Back those days, the ball boy was Cameron Joyce. Cam and I chatted the day that the women's Final Four was coming to Cleveland, Iowa, with, of course, Caitlin Clark, South Carolina, the eventual champions, UConn, NC State. We had a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Here is the head coach of the St. Ignatius Wildcats, Cameron Joyce. So happy to bring on the podcast the state championship coach of the St. Ignatius Wildcats, Cam Joyce. Cam, congratulations on the title. What was that like for you?
Thanks, John, for having me on. I really appreciate it. Man, the winning the title was amazing. I think at times it still hasn't set in all the way. But no, it's been an awesome feeling. It's been a whirlwind of emotions. It's been a crazy couple weeks of, a week and a half since we won it all. And everybody, I think, is still on cloud nine, you know, coaches and players. It was just such a cool experience and such a journey. And I think that's the, when you get to the mountaintop, you think of everything that you had to do to reach it, right? And yeah. You know, the summer workouts, the 6 a.m. practices, the lifts, you know, all the summer league games, the tough games in the season, the traveling. And so to get to that highest point, right, to play that last game of the season, it just, you know, puts everything in perspective, that it was worth it, that your commitment and sacrifice, as many parts into a whole, was able to have success. And so it's been tremendous. The outpour of congratulations from friends and family has been something I could never imagine. I think at one point I had like maybe 500, 600 unread messages from texts or social media, whatever the case may be. And so it was pretty cool. You know, I appreciate it all. And I tried to respond to everybody that I could. I'm sure I missed a couple people along the way, but if they hear this interview, thank you.
Well, that's really cool. And I hope they do get a chance. How was it just communicating with your big brother, Drew, who certainly has played a big part in your life, your basketball life, your life as a developing person as well? What was that like?
Well, it's been obviously a good, you know, last week for our family in general, right? And so,
right.
You know, communicating with Drew was, you know, obviously he had his stuff going on with Dan Bright stepping down and obviously him interviewing for the job and trying to figure out at the time, was he going to be able to get it? And obviously, you know, they end up offering him the job. And so I'm so happy for him. And you know, it's been crazy on his end as well. And so, When we spoke, obviously he called me late that night after we had won it all, and we had a, just a good private conversation. He was just really proud of me and congratulating me and our staff and what our players are able to do out there, and just really happy for me. And then, very similar, when everything was official, for him, me and my wife, we were actually out of town. We went out of the country for a couple of days, and a good friend of mine, I got married in college. And he's Taiwanese, and so we got to experience Asia. And I gave my brother a call. It's probably 1 in the morning in Taiwan, and we had a good talk though. And I was so happy for him, and what a dream come true for him and his family. And I know he's gonna do a great job at Duquesne.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting to see how he does. It's been so wonderful to watch his development from way back in the days playing at St. V, you being a youngster. What did you glean off of him, growing up, his friendships with his teammates, how he went about his business, and how your father taught you guys to do the right thing? What was that like?
Well, I had a front row to those guys for a long time. I always joke with people that I would bet, maybe now, because maybe not now anymore, because Bron has played 21 seasons now, which is unbelievable. But
Unreal.
growing up, when those guys were going through the AAU years and the middle school years, and obviously into the high school years, that I seen more live games than anybody.
I bet. I
I was
bet.
on more trips in that van than anybody with my father and my brother and those team and those and his team. Just seeing all the success they had and what it took, right? How much work they put in. All when a lot of how much work they put in that a lot of people didn't see, and it took a lot of sacrifice. Where maybe some of their other friends were hanging out and, traveling and doing different things in the summer. And those guys were in the gym. Those guys were in the driveways. Those guys were running hills. Those guys were, lifting weights and going to Sunday night workouts with Coach Danbrot, right? All those things that, a lot of kids at the time probably weren't doing at that age. But, you got a chance to see what real work would get you if you put your heart into it. And obviously my dad just leading that way and instilling in us all those core values. Decisions create environments was one of his favorite quotes. And just like, hey man, whatever decision you make, understand that's what environment you're going to put yourself in. And I think that meant on the court and off the court, right? And so just getting to see his commitment for us as his sons, knowing that he played football, right? He wasn't a
Right.
basketball player, but his commitment of wanting to be the best coach he could be for us, and that meant reading books. He was always a big John Wooden fan. That meant going to coaching clinics to get better at his craft so he could put us in the best place forward. And now seeing that and being in his shoes, you want to do the same thing for your players. And want to make sure you put them in the best positions possible. And that's what, I was focused on this off season after we, had lost a heartbreaker the previous year in the Sweet 16 of like, hey, how do we get better? Because in a lot of ways I felt like we had a team that year that could win a state championship. I thought, we were obviously close a couple games away. But I knew I said, hey, how can we get better? How can I get better as a coach to make sure when we're in this position again that I'm not gonna fail these guys? Because I felt like just watching that game, there were some things that I could have did better as a leader to put those guys in better positions. And I felt like, hey, I need to be a better coach. And that put me back in the lab, and I did some things differently this year with our group, and obviously it paid off.
What kind of things did you do? How did you adjust, Cam?
Well, I thought, I just, one of the things I thought about was I knew people, hey, they knew we had talent, right? Like, hey, they're a talented team. When they play this, they're going to put talent on the floor. But I wanted people not necessarily not in a way to fear us, but what was our real identity when they played us? What did they fear that they knew that they were going to have to face
I
outside
see.
of the talent on the floor from individual players. And I didn't think we really had a true identity. And when I looked at our stats and I looked at our numbers, I just felt we kind of played to other people's pace. We kind of played other people's games. We never really imposed our will. And looking at the numbers, I thought one of the most glaring numbers was our last game that year where we lose 38-37 to Garfield Heights. And I said, that was their game. If I didn't watch anything, if I just looked at the score, I was like, well, that's a game Garfield can win because that's a game that they could slow it down. They only needed one guy to really score, such as Marcus. And I just said, one thing that I don't want to do anymore is play anybody else's style. I want people to play our style. I want people to fear us in a way of they know when they play St. Ignatius, this is what it's going to entail. And so what that meant is we were going to play faster. Mm-hmm. We were going to change up our defensive pressure. We were going to change up what we did offensively. So we changed everything in a lot of ways. I decided I was going to press 32 minutes all game long. We were going to press off makes. We were going to press off misses sometimes. We were going to make you uncomfortable. And we were going to use our depth that we felt most teams wouldn't have and just wear you down. And in some ways, it would have been steals. Some ways it would have just been getting you out of your offense. Now you're not running your actions because you're rushing or you're shooting quick shots. We just wanted you to know when you played us, you were going to face some pressure. And you heard it from opposing coaches all year long. Like, man, they're so long. They're going to pressure you. They're going to get after you defensively. And then after the game, you heard it from coaches. Like, you see it on the film, but when you get out there on the floor, it's different. Like, they're so good defensively. They swarm you, and we just felt it was going to be hard for teams to prepare for what they may not see all the time. Because, listen, people press, right? Like, we're not saying that we're doing something that nobody isn't doing. But the way we press was different. And everybody doesn't press 32 minutes because a lot of people don't have the depth to press 32 minutes. They may only have 6-7 guys, but we have the – we're fortunate to have 10 guys that we really trusted. We were fortunate to have some athleticism and be versatile 1 through 5. And it changed, you know, if you look at our scores, I mean, we averaged the second most points per game in the state of Ohio this year at 78 points a game this year versus the toughest schedule in the state. Just think if our schedule maybe wasn't as tough, we may average close to 90. There was, you know, multiple games where we may have put 30 points up in one quarter. We may have got 40 to almost 50 points in one half, where we got over 90 multiple times. I mean, you seen it early in scrimmages. Okay, we got something going where the pace and the tempo, we were able to dictate and control and make people play our way. And we just felt even early in the season, we would play and some people would hang with us. But we seen in that third quarter, something would change. Their legs would get a little tired. And we went on these spurts where it may be a 7-point lead and now we're up 20 in a matter of minutes. And you could just tell we got better and better as the season went on. And, you know, our goal was just to dominate the boards, to be plus 10 in turnovers, and to be plus and to win the fast break points and to defend the three. And I think we did all those things really, really well.
Wow, it's impressive what you were able to do. And I can also say, Cam, that when you have the conviction of the way you are operating is going to be the way you're going to be successful, it's pretty, it helps have everybody buy into it, doesn't it? Easily?
Oh, yeah, much more easily. Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, I told the guys early on that, hey, we're going to play a lot different this year. And that means it's going to take a different level of endurance, of sacrifice. And you got to play so hard that it's going to require, not you got to play so hard. The way we play is going to require you to play so hard at times that you're going to be tired. And if you're not tired, we're not playing hard enough. And if you're not asking to come out, then we're not doing our job, because you got to give it your all to make this successful. People, everybody talks about wanting to play fast, but you have to be committed to playing fast. And the biggest commitment is being in shape. Like, you have to be in shape. And that means you guys have to be at a different level, have to have a different level of commitment when it comes to endurance and practice, when it comes to endurance and games. And we were on guys. We would take guys out if we say, hey, if you're jogging up the court, that means you're tired. We got to get you out. We were in practice. I wouldn't blow the whistle at times. Even if it looked crazy, I just said, hey, we can't blow the whistle. We got to let them figure it out. And I talked to some guys that played this way in college. A good friend of mine that helped me a lot is Jordan Fee. He was a coach at Gannon, had a lot of success this year, came from Nova Southeastern. And obviously those guys came from West Liberty. And obviously they've had a lot of success at the Division II level. Actually, Jordan went 32-3 this year as a head coach, and he's actually leaving now. But he helped me a lot and just told me some different things that they wanted their guys to work on from their level of playing this way in this style and what it took. But one of the things he said to me was, you got to let them figure it out, coach. And what I mean by that is you can't give them too many rules to where now the rules are a cop-out for them, where the rules are, they're going to tell you, well, hey, you told me to do this, and that's why I did it, when in reality, every situation in the game is different. Every possession is going to maybe ask you to answer a different question. And so you got to let them figure it out a little bit on their own within giving them structure. So there is structure, there is some rules, but you can't have a ton of rules. And I know that may sound crazy, and I know that might be a little chaotic, but there's a method to it. And so there, you can see naturally as the year went on, the guys start to figure out which ways we can have success in different type of situations. And we probably seen every different press break. So by the time we got to Centerville in the state championship, our guys were so good of understanding teams were going to try to spread us out. Teams were going to try to hold the ball. Teams were going to try to get shooters in the corner. And, you know, they're going to try to throw the ball ahead. And we were just, man, like, it was such a beauty to see from the start of the season to the end of the season how locked in these guys were on that end of the floor and how committed they were to the style of play that we had.
And you mentioned it's about a commitment from you on top down to the rest, you know, to the whole team in general, and how you are in practices obviously formulates a lot of how they're going to respond during games. I still listened a short while ago to the third episode with LeBron and JJ Redick in that podcast, which is spectacular. I love it. And, you know, LeBron's going back to, they just won the title as a freshman, you know, and they come into the first practice of the next year and Keith Dambrot throws him out of practice, LeBron James, you know? And so, you know, it's instances, I guess you got to know how to do it, or have the, you know, touch on the gas or when to hit the brakes and those types of things. How have you been able to do that over the 4 or 5 years that you've been a head coach, to learn the nuances of how to be a certain way in one instance versus another way that maybe you did it previously, Cam?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you talk about looking back at year one, and I know we had success early on, so it may not look like we had to actually go through some different obstacles, right? But I always told people, man, like, I was learning a lot on the job myself. And even though I had all of this experience as a player, as experience from coaching in college and working with different college coaches, and obviously, you know, seeing different styles, when I became that head coach, you figured out early, like, hey, what you thought may work, that doesn't mean that it is going to work. And so this play that you may think is amazing, right? Does it fit your team? Does it fit your style of play? Will it work? Will it translate at the high school level? And so I was always tinkering with different things to make sure I was trying to put our team that we had in that moment in the best possible way to have success. Every team asks you some different questions that you got to answer as a coach, you got to answer as a coaching staff. But at the same time, you want making sure guys buy into, you know, as one of my assistants always say, the non-negotiables, right? Being on time, playing hard, communicating on the floor, communicating off the floor. We're big on our guys of, hey, communicate with us. Hey, I got a doctor's appointment. Don't tell me 15 minutes before practice, hey, coach, I got a dentist appointment, I can't be there. No, you got to tell me earlier in the day. Don't tell me that your ankle was hurt, but have you seen the trainer? Like, if you haven't seen the trainer, then I don't know that your ankle isn't hurt. Yep. Because you have to start, you have to learn to have that communication and not be responsible as a young adult of going and doing your service and your diligence of getting your treatment, right? And the guys learned early that I was going to be a stickler with those things, that I'm a easy coach to play for, but I want you guys to understand there's certain things that you have to do before we even get on the court. And once we get on the court, I expect a level of striving for excellence every day. And credit to our guys for always buying into, you're going to sacrifice some individual stats in order to win. And if you win here, you're going to get your ultimate goal, which is playing in college. And we've sent, you know, we had three guys that started on the number one team in the country at John Carroll this year. We have two guys obviously going to Division I as seniors this year, and Sam Springer and Reese Robinson. Another kid, John Efforts, is having a great career down at Ava Maria, down at the NAIA level. We got CJ Yarian starting at Hillsdale College. We've changed up kind of the narrative of what maybe Ignatius basketball was before we got here. And it was never a bad place. Like, Coach Baker and Coach O'Toole did great jobs. They had great teams. Right. We just wanted to take it to a level of, when you think about the best teams in the state, just like when you think about St. Ignatius football or St. Ignatius soccer or St. Ignatius hockey, you put our name in that batch. And we felt our name wasn't in that batch. And hopefully now we felt over the years that, you know, now we're in that top tier of, like, hey, when you think of the top teams in the state, the top programs in the state, St. Ignatius basketball is going to be one of those teams. And I think people have been seeing it over the last couple of years. And I think us winning it this year kind of put the, you know, the stamp on it as, hey, these guys have not only arrived, but now they've won at the highest level. And I credit our guys in year one of laying the bricks to the foundation. Our guys in year two of being seniors on that team, where a lot of these guys were freshmen, right, and showing these guys the way. And that's important because it didn't just start with this group. This has been a process.
It's really cool to see the success that you've had over the course of your career. You know, you've been to the state semifinals very early. And then here, you know, five seasons in, you've got a title. It's really been impressive to see, Cam. I have to congratulate you on that. But you're in that building or that on that campus. It really seems like a special place. The kids, their commitment to their book work, to being the best that they can be, service in the community, all the things that make well-rounded individuals. You are a part of that, and you're executing on the basketball court. How helpful is that, or how does that dynamic work for you as a coach of a sport alongside the Mike McLaughlins of the world who just keep winning soccer championships left and right?
It is a special place, and the coaches and the people in the building make it special. Because you got a lot of people that have been there for a long, long time that have seen the school transition, the buildings change, the floors change, right? But the energy is the same, right?
Got it.
The level of commitment to our faith is the same. The level of commitment to our academics is always going to be at the highest level. And that just breathes over into our athletics, right? Because our level of commitment to faith, to service, to our academics is so high and is so consistent that when you get over here on this competition playing field, you're already used to being you're already used to being demanded of a high level of service, right? And a high level of respect of your teachers, of your counselors, of the priests at the school, of your parents. You're dealing with a lot of great young men that come from a lot of great backgrounds, a lot of really, really good families, a lot of families that have sent multiple sons to the school, or maybe their father went to the school, or their grandfather, or their uncles, right?
Yep.
You're dealing with a lot of different legacies. And so to get to rub shoulders with Coach McLaughlin is just a bonus, right? Because there's so many good people in the building. Rory Fitzpatrick, our athletic director, is tremendous in supporting not just me, but every sport. Brad Gaynor, our baseball coach, is tremendous of supporting every sport at the same time being the baseball coach. Ryan Franzinger, as soon as I walked into my office, or now we're sharing cubicles because they're, changing up. We got a big project going on, which is going to give us new offices. As soon as I walk in and he's got a letter on my desk, just congratulating what myself and our staff and our team did. Chuck Kyle, obviously one of the GOATs, right? I got an email from him just congratulating us. So, Pat O'Rourke just won a hockey championship, a 2 weeks before, getting text messages from him. And it's, our golf team, they just won, obviously, multiple, two, they won back to back before this year. The school is, I just wanted to get in the hallway, right? Like we just wanted to get another star on our logo because it's always competitive, man. It's crazy. Anytime a team wins a state championship, you get a day off at the school. And so I just say, hey, for basketball, we want to win one to get our free day, right? soccer's winning, hockey's winning, we want to, golf is winning, rugby, Dan Arbesnick, national championships. Lacrosse has been close. every season, we're expecting a state championship. And, but in the faith of the school comes first. And what these guys do as sophomores, we call a sophomore service that actually Mike McLaughlin is over. Obviously I went to a Catholic school in St. Vincent, St. Mary, and, but St. Ignatius is much different. Not the St. V is a bad school because it's a great school. Obviously I love St. But St. Ignatius is different. Obviously it's all boys, right? It's not co-ed, but you understand why so many people love coming back to the school. So many alumni are so in tune with the school still because the memories and experiences that they have in these 4 years here is tremendous. And it's a credit to what they do in the classroom and our faith of the school. And I tell people all the time, like, it may seem that we have all these kids from different areas, right? We are different than a public school, but I got nine guys, out of our 15 guys, I think two of them went to a public school. You got multiple guys that went to the same Catholic school. So these guys have known each other since they were second grade. This is close to a public school, the team that we had of guys playing together, knowing each other and being best friends. This is not as just, everybody wants to, oh, you're recruiting, you're pulling kids from different spots. Like, no, these kids are, they've been in our community for a long, long time. Most of them have. And so it's pretty cool to see what these guys have transitioned to as young men, coming from, being seventh graders and sixth graders and seeing Quinn Wiley and Jimmy Thomas in our camps, right? And now they're, winning state championships here. But it's a testament to this institution and this great school that we work at. Dr. Fiore is tremendous. Father Gial has been awesome, such a blessing. I can't thank enough people within our administration and our athletic department for helping us, because it's so much more than just me and our coaches and our players.
And I'm sure your dad said the same thing when he was in the height of the success, and they still continue to be that way as a coach, saying that it takes a whole group of people to get this done. You saw that as a young person, the excellence at St. V and the championships. And then you saw the friendships, I think, which are very important, I think, Cam, you know, that your brother had with LeBron or with Shion, with Romeo, all these folks that to this day, you know, big parts of each other's lives. I think that's really cool. As you're growing up, youngster, seeing that, how did that forge you, and where did you get to the point where you said, what my father does and what my brother wants to do, I'd like to have a piece of that, to be a part of that? How did that coalesce?
Well, you know, as I spoke on earlier, you know, when you see, obviously I had a love for basketball early on, you know, chasing my brother around. And when you see them have success, you know, naturally you want to have the same success, right? You want to experience, like you're experiencing it, but you want to experience it as a player. You want to experience it as a coach, right? And that was always something that I longed for. You know, I got to see these guys win a national championship and win multiple state championships and travel around not just the country, but the world with the game of basketball, right? And naturally, you know, I wanted to do the same thing. You know, I love this game of basketball just as much as those guys. And so as I was growing up and obviously getting older, you know, all I wanted to do when I got to high school was get to Columbus just like those guys. Now I'm not the ball boy. I'm not the manager. I'm not the tag along. I'm the guy that's getting announced as a starting point guard as my junior year when we're playing Dayton Dunbar. And we fell short, but it was just special just to be there and experience it as my own experience. And as a coach, you know, I didn't know that I would coach, you know, honestly. And I definitely didn't think at the time that I would coach high school. You know, after graduating from college, you know, playing at Northwood University, I had a really good career there. You know, I transferred there from Kent State. I played at Kent State for 2 years and I had a different route and different journey. But when I left, I wanted to play overseas, just like my brother and Rome and those guys, right? And I experienced playing overseas. I played overseas coming out of prep school. I got a chance to play in France at Kent State. Going into my sophomore year, we went to Italy. So I had been overseas, and then obviously I got to visit my brother and Rome when they were rookies. And so I got a opportunity to see what it felt like as a professional player, and that's what I was aiming for. And I got hurt the night before my senior night and end up not being able to finish out my senior season. And then in the summertime, you know, I had my brother's agent, and Dave Sausman was his name. Dave Sausman was tremendous in helping me. And he got me opportunity in Germany, and it was in like the third, fourth league. And it was a small opportunity. And I just said, hey, you know, I don't think I want that. You know, I don't know if I'll be able to work my way up to get to the highest level. And so at that point I pivoted and I said, you know, maybe my journey has ended as a player, but maybe I can start coaching. And thankfully I had opportunity to be a grad assistant at Tiffin University. Jerry Busilla offered me an opportunity. Jerry Busilla was assistant at Tiffin while I was a player at Northwood. And he ended up getting a head job at Tiffin. And, you know, there's always coaches give you respect and handshake lines, right? And they, you know, say little stuff to you. And whenever we played Tiffin, Jerry would always, you know, shake my hand a little bit longer. I don't know if it's because I was from an Ohio guy or what, but he always had a respect for me. And it just so happened that he hired one of my best friends, Julian Sellinger, who's assistant at Kent State now, but he was actually getting into college coaching at Tiffin, and they both were on me. Hey, come coach. And I call him Jules. He was like, hey man, Ken, you would be really, really good. And obviously we're both coaches' sons. He's obviously Sat Sellinger is his dad. Yeah. And so I went to Tiffin, and after the year, I told the guys, I told that team, and I was basically in tears when I told them. I said, hey, I want to thank you guys because you guys helped me find my career. I didn't know what I was getting into this year, but you guys listened to me. Some of these guys I had just played against, mind you, right? Like I played against them the year before and they gave me the ultimate respect. And I really loved my experience. And I said, man, this coaching thing is maybe better than I thought. And my respect level changed so much for my father that year, because you obviously you see as a coach, but to really experience what he was really experiencing now as I was coaching,
yeah,
it just felt a lot different. And some of the ways that I probably overlooked, I didn't overlook anymore. And I remember calling my dad, thanking him as well, because he had to deal with a lot of trash that I probably took him through and a lot of other players. And now I can see, man, like you stuck with it when there were probably times that you didn't want to stick with it. And you were tremendous in providing opportunities for us as young men. And now I wanted to do that. And I think the biggest thing I took from it was the mentorship, and the relationships that you could have with these young guys and molding them in the young adult men. And all I want to do is get a call like, hey, coach, I got engaged. Hey, coach, you know, come to the wedding. Hey, coach, man, I just got my first job. You know, hey, coach, write me a reference letter. You know, can you help me out? You know, like that's all I want. Like that's
yeah.
The winning and the losing, that comes and goes, but the relationships and experience last forever. And I tell these guys all the time that I'm able to coach now, like I'm always in your corner. You can always call me. And never forget that. And I'll never forget you. And I may yell at you at times. You may not like me at times. I may not like you at times, but it's all for the betterment. And I'll always keep that in hindsight. And that's what I learned ultimately from, you know, my brother and my dad and just seeing those guys early on. And obviously when I got into coaching, my brother was still playing. So
yeah,
he came over as I was leaving the college game and he was coming into college coaching. And it's been pretty cool just to see his path as a coach now. And we're able to, you know, bounce ideas off each other. And I remember he called me after his first probably month at Cleveland State and said, this is a little bit tougher than I thought. And I said, the first year is the toughest year because you're at an age still where you can still play. And not only play, but you could play at a high level. Just like my first year coaching in college, I just was playing in their same league. And so I had just beat these guys or teams they played. And I said, you're probably upset because, or frustrated because a lot of things that you're trying to get your guys to do, you may have felt was simple and you can do on the floor, but now you got to find a way to not do it on the floor with them, but how to make them do it on the floor without you. Like, how can you get them to do it without you doing it physically, mm-hmm. by you doing it verbally? And I said, that's different. And that's going to take an adjustment because I could get in the scout team with these guys and show them, right? But
right.
They're the ones winning games. They're the ones that have to get out there. You can't get, your time is over with. Your time is done. You're not winning games on the floor. You got to figure out how to win games off the floor. And that's going to be a transition. And he agreed with me that, hey, it's different in that mindset. And I told him after the first year, you'll be a little bit better.
Cam, the greatest coaches are the best teachers. And you've had a ton of teachers, haven't you? From your brother to your father, to your brother's buddies, to the folks that you met at Kent State, to other destinations, the experiences that your brother had at CSU to Duquesne that he may have told you about, as long as you're receptive, right? As long as you're receptive to take the advice of others, the world is your oyster. I really believe that. And you've blossomed, and all the kudos to you. I know I've kind of kept you a little bit longer than I promised,
okay.
but it's just been a great conversation to know, how you turn this thing into a championship caliber program and you win a title so soon. Kudos to you. Best wishes. Enjoy what you can of the Final Four. We're recording this on the Friday before the women take to the courts at Rocket Mortgage, but we won't be posting this for about a week or two. Great conversation, Cam. Thanks very much. All the best to you, my friend.
John, thank you for having me. Thank you for, you know, wanting to interview me. I'm very appreciative of being able to talk St. Ignatius basketball and talk to the different experiences of my life that I've been able to experience. And it's been a beautiful process. And obviously winning the state title was obviously the cherry on the top and something that I've been trying to get for a long, long time. And I'm so thankful for our young men. And it was so great to be able to lead them. And I'm honored to be in a position that I am at St. Ignatius High School. I never take that for granted. And I appreciate you taking the time out your day to interview me and having me on. And I apologize for the glare. You know, I was rushing. I probably didn't get in the best spot in my house.
You're fine, my man.
Hopefully it doesn't look too bad when you post it.
No problem. Again, thanks for the combo. All the best. And the best to your family and all your buddies there at St. Ignatius.
Thank you. You have a blessed weekend. And yeah, I'm going to be tuned into this women's Final Four like I never have. And I'm going to be tuned into the men's as well. A lot of great storylines, a lot of great teams. And I'm excited to just see some good basketball. I don't really have a preference on who wins. I just want to see some great basketball.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, Cam. Have a good day.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks very much to Cameron for the convo. Already has an impressive resume. And if you're in the St. Ignatius family, it's a great opportunity to share this episode with those that perhaps may not be aware of its existence, if you will. And also know that we've had previous episodes of Telich Talks concerning some of the greats there at that school on Lorraine Avenue in Ohio City. The likes of Chuck Kyle, the legendary football coach, and the soccer championship coach, Mike McLaughlin, and much, much more. Next week, we'll go and speak with another outstanding young coach. It is the coach of the Twinsburg Tigers in high school football. It is Charles Salter, the 2023 Build the Bridge Coach of the Year. Look forward to the conversation with Charles. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. We'll check you out the next time on Telich Talks. Thank you.